Sitting outside now. A beautiful Labor Day weekend. Sun is out, bright in the sky. You hear that wind? That breeze blowing? You can feel it on the hair of your arms and know that that slight chill means that summer is over. But you know what's not over? The killing in Chicago, the mayhem, the violence, increasing all the time. The murders, the shootings, the beatings. And something frosted me. CWB reported it. I don't know if other news outlets report it, but they do. I guess they care about such things, and it's important. Let me read you the headline. Three anti-violence workers charged with felony gun violations while out on bail for felony gun violations. Thanks, Tim Evans. Thanks, Tony Preckwinkle. Thanks, Kim Fox. Thanks, Lori Lightfoot. You see these stories about the violence counselors that are out there trying to stop the killings. These three are carrying guns. Well, I don't know. Do you blame them? They're dealing with gangbangers. They say they need it for protection. But all three are supposedly working to end gun violence in Chicago. And they were charged with illegally carrying guns this week, while they're already on bond for other felony gun cases. And one of the pending cases, one of the men, includes allegations that he shot at two people. Please, Kim Fox, Tony Preckwinkle, Tim Evans, Lori Lightfoot, may I have another? Can you just slap me in the mouth again and slap the people of Chicago in the mouth again and again? I'm sick of it. I thought I was sick of it before when those two men were beaten half to death on the 400 block of North State Street. They waited 6 minutes for police to arrive with the barbarian women twerking up a storm, their pelvises twitching, right as they were being beaten up, right next to them. It was a scene right out of Hieronymus Bosch, which is why I used a Hieronymus Bosch knockoff on my column. It went national. The idea of it was, in order to hold public officials accountable, you have to connect the dots. Well, who's going to connect the dots? People who support the social justice warriors? Are they going to connect the dots? No. I think there are some reporters who are willing to try. Some have already. I tried last year, and again in my new life. But back at the paper, I tried. And last year, you know what happened? I was defamed by the Chicago Newspaper Guild, Tribune Newspaper Guild. They thought I didn't belong in their paper. Well, I'm gone now. Yeah, I dared link George Soros to Kim Fox. He dropped $2 million on her. For a campaign. And Lori Lightfoot endorsed her. And from then on, I was done with Lightfoot. And you can see now, just as I'm telling you this, just a few hours ago, a bus driver was shot, either in the face or the leg, I don't know, but at 90 East Washington, right by the Bean, where all the tourists go. You think there are tourists coming? Would you go down to the Loop? or on the 400 block of North State Street? Really? People are leaving with their feet. They vote with their feet. They vote with their wheels. They drive away. And you know who's not leaving? Police. Yeah, the ones you give the finger to when they give you a traffic ticket. They're the ones when you're getting beaten up by a divvy bike gang, you're begging for cops to show up and save you. Mike Houlihan is our guest. Hooli is a famous storyteller in Chicago. He's boss of Hibernian Radio. He runs tours to Ireland. And he's the man of the year of the Emerald Society. And that dinner is September 11th. Appropriate, isn't it? September 11th for first responders. First responders at a dinner. I'm going to be there too. Over at Gaelic Park. A Greek columnist walks into a banquet hall and sees, is confronted by 2,000 Irish cops. I don't know. Does that sound like a joke? It's not a joke. And it's my honor to be invited to speak. So Hooli's our guest, and he's got a great story and many stories. And Jeff Carlin is here as well. My friend, longtime executive producer at WGN Radio, master of sound. And if you like what you hear here on the Chicago Way podcast, it's because Jeff Carlin makes it so. The podcast needs some advertisers. Yeah, I'll accept advertising as long as it's not Kim Fox, Lori Lightfoot, Tim Evans, Tony Preckwinkle, okay? There are others who might want to advertise, and so you can find Jeff Carlin at JP Carlin on social media, on Twitter, or me, John_Cass. Reach out to us. Find me on Facebook. If you're interested, I'm interested. We're interested. The podcast is doing well thanks to you, and because you're telling your friends to subscribe, and you're subscribing, and tell more to subscribe. Especially on, if you do it on iTunes, you can write us a 5-star review. And that would be greatly appreciated. Of course, if you don't like us, then please don't write a review, okay? This is about you. And where are you right now? With the Loop being killed off by inept politicians, fumbling bumblers who don't understand how to run a city or run a government. They're great at social justice vigilantism and social justice virtue signaling, because they're all about that. They want you to know how they feel. You know how the people of Chicago want to feel? They want to feel safe. And if they don't feel safe, they're going to leave. They're already leaving. More are leaving every day. And so there you are with the new one. The White Shadow. Arne Duncan being measured for the mayor's job. He'll be getting publicity and, oh yes, all his Chicago cred will be coming out. There stands Lori Lightfoot. Glum. Snarling. Wearing the jacket. Chicago doesn't need more virtue signaling or more people like Arne Duncan with Rahm Emanuel and the Obama machine behind them. What have you done already to this city? You're going to give us another suit? Chicago needs somebody who can manage. I don't care. Black, white, brown. Someone who could manage this broken bureaucracy that leads to bus drivers being shot in the face, in the loop, and children being gunned down, and kids being shot in the back of the seat of their parents' car. And they catch the shooters, and the cops want to charge, and the state's attorney doesn't want to charge. Yeah. And the city of Chicago is dying, and the Chicago Way is a one-way street between political ambitions aiming for your wallet. And that's where you are. With me, with Jeff Carlin, with Mike Houlihan, on the Chicago Way podcast, on WGN Plus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand, with pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward, with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso, in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
Well, as I said, our guest is Mike Houlihan, known as Hooli. The 2021 and 2020 Emerald Society Irish American of the Year.
Thank you. Very humbled and honored at this great recognition. What took him so long?
I'm looking at this biography, and there's going to be a dinner on September 11th at Gaelic Park, at which Hooli is nominated. And I think I'm also nominated for Honorary Irishman. Am I
absolutely
not? Yeah. They couldn't find an Irish MC in Chicago, so they asked the Greek to show up before 2,000 Irish coppers.
You've been good to the police. That's why you're there.
It should be a great event, and I guess tickets are still available, right,
Hooli? Absolutely. Call Tim Burns for tickets. His number is 773-551-5671. If he doesn't answer, leave a message. He'll call you back.
And you know what else? Let's do the biography of Hooli, because it's like in the mists of the 7th century when you're seeing someone like a Celt kind of running into the mists, okay?
I'm in my 7th decade, that's for sure.
He was baptized at St. Margaret Mary's Parish in West Rogers Park.
Right.
But soon located to Christ the King Parish in the Beverly neighborhood. That is so Chicago, where you identify with parishes.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. I'm proud of that St. Margaret Mary's. I was only there till I was 2 years old. But, you know, I don't want to be just South Side Irish. I have North Side Irish roots as well.
Are you going lace curtain on us in your old age, going back in time? He also wrote a great comic memoir, Going East on Ashland, and his noir comedy, Mickey Finn, had its world premiere production at the Royal George Theater in 2000. He has written, produced, and directed many independent films, including In Search of Weeping Jim.
Yeah, which is premiering September 24th at the Gene Siskel Film Center.
All right, tell us about this movie, In Search of Weeping Jim.
Weeping Jim was the late Alderman Jim Kearns, who was born in Ireland in 1871, emigrated to Chicago at the age of 13 in 1884. He went to St. Ignatius. He went to Loyola. He went to Kent School of Law, became a lawyer. He got into politics. He's the guy that introduced the legislation in 1915 that Chicago should have its own flag. And then in 1917, it did. The flag was born. So we are claiming the Chicago flag for the Irish diaspora. It's now officially the Chicago flag is an Irish thing because the guy who brought it up was Excellent. Born in Ireland. And in the film,
you,
we go.
Wait, are you doing something like where I do? Like I point out all the things that Greeks invented.
Now exactly. Right? Yeah. But we went on a search. We went to his home where he was born on a tiny little island of Inishkutl, outside of a town called Kilmina in County Mayo. We ran into some long lost cousins. His grandson, Dennis, is one of my best friends, and I've known him since second grade or first grade. We grew up together in Christ the King Parish. So there's a connection, and I have run trips to Ireland for the last 10 years. And one year, Dennis and I went on our search for Weeping Jim. We found all, you know, his legacy is terrific. There's also a lot of great music in the film. The Sod Actors, the Wolf Tones, Jimmy Clunan and Friends, Emer Arkins, just terrific score, everything.
When you mention Irish music, you're getting Jeff Carlin, former goalkeeper from the Palatine Celtic, excited.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love it. That sounds awesome. And when is it debuts this fall?
Well, I run a film festival. It's called the 7th Annual Irish American Movie Hooli. And every year we bring in filmmakers from Ireland. And this year I said, I'm opening the festival with my film. But we also have two great films. One on Saturday is A Bend in the River by Irish filmmaker Colin Broderick. And then Sunday, a great film called Endless Sunshine on a Cloudy Day by John Connors, who's a big star in Ireland, the kind of the anti-hero actor, just terrific guy.
When does this film festival begin?
It begins September 24th. It's September 24th, 25th, and 26th that weekend. At the Gene Siskel Film Center, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And if you want any more information, where do you go?
You go to moviehooli.org. Hooli, in this case, is Hooli as a party. So it's movie, HOOLEY.org. You can see trailers for the films. All the information is there, moviehooli.org. And there's a plug to go to the Siskel and buy your tickets. It's sponsored by Paddy's Irish Whiskey, I might add.
Well, he's not. Paddy's Irish Whiskey is not sponsoring this show, but we'll let him be on.
Okay. All right. And the film festival is also sponsored by the Dearborn, a restaurant over on 145 North Dearborn, around the corner from the theater. It's going to be our hangout that weekend.
Very cool.
It's going to be your hangout over at night.
After the shows, everybody's encouraged to go over there.
Yeah. I know the Dearborn. I like it. And I know some of the owners.
Clodagh Lawless and her sister, Amy.
Amy. Yeah.
They were great people.
Yeah. So, Hooli, tell me more about the Emerald Society and what do I have to expect when I go in there, besides the fair, which I assume will be corned beef and cabbage.
I have no idea what they're serving, to tell you the truth. But Gaelic Park is a fabulous spot. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's like an Irish country club. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I got into this skinny. Sheehan and I did a radio show for 10 years called The Skinny and Hooli Show.
Right. Loved it.
And then in the end of 2018, Skinny retired and I didn't want to hang it up. And my son Patty said, why don't you do a show about Irish first responders? I said, that's a great idea because they all have great stories. So that's what we did. In 2019, we started Hibernian Radio. It's Irish cops, firefighters, paramedics, and now nurses. We've just added nurses in the last month, all first responders. And they have the best stories. And they're the greatest people. What can I tell you? They're the salt of the earth.
You had one of our friends on, the stubborn Irishman himself, Pat Fitzmaurice.
Pat was our first guest.
Right? Yeah. The double left hook.
Ask him about our trip to New York. We went to New York. He got the Irish Echo First Responder Award. Yeah.
Well deserving. So where do people, can you listen to Hibernian Radio?
Hibernian Radio is broadcast every Saturday night on WSBC 1240 AM from 7 to 8, or streaming online at globalirishradio.com. Well, it's GIR.IE. It's all over Ireland. So you can catch it there. And then the podcasts are usually up by Sunday at HibernianRadio.org. Go there. You can listen to all the old shows at HibernianRadio.org.
Well, that sounds great. And I will.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you guys, you're doing it for how long now?
Well, we're in our, let's see, 2019, 20. We're in our third year of the show. Yeah, I've done, and we're building a film documentary with this too, because I've interviewed over 100 Irish cops. So that's eventually going to be a documentary, Chicago's Irish Cops. But I'll tell you a funny story. You know, every cop has a story to tell. And one of the, we had Danny Burke on the show recently, and he's a 28-year veteran of the Cook County Sheriff's Police. And his dad was a cop. There's a lot of, you know, fathers and sons who are on the police. And his dad used to tell him, nobody wants to hear the blood and gut stories. What they want to hear are the stories about the one-legged hooker who chased the John down the street because he didn't pay or stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And those are the great stories. So the other night, we had a guy on, Jeff Lang, another Cook County Sheriff's Police veteran. He's retired now. He told us a great story. You guys know, are you familiar with Sybaris? Sybaris, it's like a couple's retreat.
I've driven by. Huh? I've driven by, but I'm married to a Sicilian who had a ball-peen hammer in her nightstand. So, no, I don't know it.
All right, so I've never been there myself either.
Me neither.
But evidently they specialize in a very sexualized atmosphere for your trysts. They have mirrors on the ceiling and stuff like that. And they also have a thing called the Taiwanese basket. Okay. Jeff Lang told us the story of a 400-pound woman who got stuck in the basket. Okay. They called the cop. They called the fire department. And of course, every cop who heard it, all respond. Okay.
It's like 10-1, but
yes,
400-pound exactly. Like woman stuck in the basket. Right.
So yeah. They get there, and there's this little guy running around in front crying, help, help. And so they go in. The lady cannot get out of the basket, and it's suspended from the ceiling. Okay. And they're sitting around going, well, let's see now. And there's a little hot tub in the room. The firemen take the champagne and put their feet in the hot tub while they're discussing this. And they're looking at, and it's, you know, anchored to the ceiling. And all of a sudden they see it's going to go. Because she weighed so much, it came down. The whole ceiling came down. She's crying. They finally get her out of the thing. I thought it was one of the funniest stories I've ever heard.
What is this material made of? Is it bamboo?
I guess bamboo, right. Whatever. Sure. But there was a steel chain was, you know, holding it to the. She wasn't supposed to be in that basket that long.
As neither of us should be.
Yes, either. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm thinking of a couple politicians who would get stuck in there.
Yes, Pritzker.
Don't give Scott Stannis any ideas. He listens to the podcast.
Oh, good.
Okay. That's ironically one of the cleanest stories that come out of the Sybaris.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, once you said that, I can imagine Jeff. He does the headlines for the podcast, and like the cop and the Chinese love basket or something like that.
Taiwanese for now, John.
Sorry. Taiwanese. Yeah. Is it a nation? Yeah. I don't want to sound like John
Cena. I have no idea.
John Cena and start crying.
There you go.
So, Huli, What is going on in Chicago? We're recording this right before Labor Day, and the loop seems to be going to hell. There was a CTA.
Oh, I'm afraid to go down there, to tell you the truth. Yeah,
a CTA driver was shot either in the face or the leg last the night before we did.
I saw it. Yeah, I saw it in your old paper, the Trib. Yeah, terrible.
What is going on? And what do the cops say about it?
Well, they're afraid. Some of them, they're afraid to say too much about it because the guys who are still on duty, a lot of the guys can't come on the show because they're afraid that they'd be fired because of something they say. The retirees, they come on the show, and boy, it's Lori Lightfoot, David Brown, the other guy you mentioned. What's his name?
Pritzker.
Deputy.
Oh, deputy. What's his name? The first deputy, the one who,
Carter,
the one who's in charge of
the guy with all the medals on his shirt.
A lot of fruit salad.
Give
unlike
me a break.
Eisenhower, I think General Eisenhower didn't have much on his.
Yeah,
I guess he didn't deserve it. But this guy Carter, he's got double-breasted fruit salad.
Unbelievable.
And he said when Officer Ella French was killed, he's on video saying about the pipes and drums rolling.
We don't have time for this S. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have time for this S.
What a piece of crap. I also think Kim Fox has to wear the jacket on a lot of this stuff. They just keep letting them out of jail, you know. There's no bond. There's no bad. You know, it's like, just go back and do it again. Crazy.
There's some guy who writes a column, and it's called National. His name is John Cass. He writes for John Cass News. The column's titled Chicago's Rising Violent Crime, How to Hold Politicians and Judges Accountable.
I just read it. Yeah, it's terrific. And
in there, I want to point out something that I didn't say, but I wanted to quote someone. You know, these politicians, they get away with it. They're not held accountable because, a brilliant media analyst says, they've walled themselves off behind phalanxes of comms teams, adjusting their messages and putting out their own stories timed with keywords specifically to get above the other stuff, outthinking the zeitgeist and keeping the status quo in check. You know who said that?
Jeff Garland.
Jeff Carlin, my God, Jeff, that was one of the best analyses of what's going on now, because people are cops and taxpayers, people and future victims. They're all wondering, how come these politicians aren't being held accountable?
Right.
And you nailed it, Jeff.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate that. Yeah, it would kind of spun off of our good Kristen McQuarrie, but yeah, you're right. I mean, I am amazed at how we've talked about this all the time, that it's just the stories of what's really happening get buried always.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And it's, you know, we get all this other crap. I mean, what was the thing on Friday this past week as we taped this, that Mayor Lightfoot put out her budget, and just because she put out some cheeky little graphic image of her that mocked or mimicked the new Drake album. That's where she is right now. She was mimicking the Drake album. For those of you who don't know, Drake's a Canadian rapper, hip hop star.
Who gives a
right? Yes, so exactly. she put out a tweet that was mimicking that to kind of coyly announce that she was getting ready to put her budget out to the public. Like, that's where her head's at. Like, I'm going to spin this turd until it's shiny. And look, here you go. Like, come on.
Well, meanwhile, guys, great point, Jeff. And meanwhile, the city seems to have lost the loop. Bus drivers are getting shot in the face or wherever in the leg. Right there on 90 East Washington. And divvy bike gangs are going through the loop, beating the crap out of people. And there was that beating just the other day on North State Street.
In front of the 7-Eleven. Yeah.
Yeah. And someone got a Chase bank worker got stabbed to death at their job.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Downtown.
Two 4-year-olds were shot over the weekend. I don't know Huli, how many times do you look at those stories? Kristen was talking about it last week. Do you look at those stories like over the weekend in Chicago, 65 dead or 65 shot, 18 dead, you know, six children? I mean, do you look at these or do the stories roll over and your eyes glaze?
After a while, you get inured to it. But you mentioned, is it CWB?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They do a good job. But there was also another, jackass.com.
Yeah, they do a good job, too.
Hey, Jackass.
They give you all the stats. Without editorializing, either. It's just there in black and white. It's like, oh, my God. Bad stuff.
And so, a totally different world when you look at their stuff.
Yeah.
So where's Chicago going, Huli?
Down the drain. And fortunately, there's not another election for, 2 years? It's just nuts. I don't know what's going to happen. It just gets worse and worse and worse. It's scary, you know.
Well, now you're getting ready to have a Scottish mayor. The White Shadow. Arnie Duncan is, you remember that show? You remember that show?
Yes, because he played basketball with Obama.
With the Bulls. The actor played basketball with the Bulls. He gets hurt and he can't play basketball anymore. He coaches an inner city school.
That was Ken Howard.
No, but now it's Arnie Duncan.
Yeah,
because he's getting all the pub. You can see him getting all the, you know, he's got the, I guess, big money from maybe what's her name? Microsoft's divorced wife. And all the Jonathan Rogers and all the sweet pub that's coming his way. Like Chicago cred is really doing something in the city. All that nonsense.
He's a twit.
Well, they're pushing him to be the mayor.
I'm sure they will. Yeah. Yeah.
Rahm Emanuel, Obama machine. Thank you.
Yeah. Rahm Emanuel in Japan. I feel sorry for them.
Oh, man.
Why?
Because he's now the ambassador to Japan. You know.
But he already lost a finger. So how many fingers can he cut off?
Yeah.
You know, like you cut your finger off and you offer it to the Japanese emperor. Like, I'm sorry.
That's pretty good.
Right?
And a 9.5.
Mayor 9.5.
Right. Or whatever they used to call. Right. Yeah.
You're talking to cops. I know you're telling that they don't want to talk about stuff like this. But do you see, I mean, how do you see that the city, you know, the changing here, impacting stuff like that? I mean, you do a lot of events, you do a lot of obviously the podcast or the show. So are the guys just completely demoralized? And for things of an events you're trying to put on, are people not buying tickets? Is it harder to string together a crowd for stuff like this or anything really?
It's combined with COVID. COVID plays very nicely into the hands of the left, I think, to, you know, destroy the morale of the police and everything else and everything we're trying to do. I mean, they're, and Pritzker, that fat ass jerk, closing down bars and stuff. It's never ending.
Wait a second. He left liquor stores open. You could buy a pint, but you couldn't go to church. That's Pritzker. Crazy. Thank you.
Yeah. It's nuts. Right. The cops are angry and demoralized. There are a lot of them are just leaving. They're just quitting the force. And I also, we had the police chief of Tinley Park on the show this week, and they're not getting any new recruits because they can't do any testing, but they're getting a lot of lateral guys who coming from Chicago to go to suburban departments. So they don't have to go through the academy, because the academy, I guess, has been closed for the last 18 months. They haven't had any cadets.
There's 600 down.
Yeah.
600 recruits down from what they should have.
Yeah.
We talked to John O'Malley last week about he was essentially desperately pleading for anybody to apply to be a cop. Saying, you know, they used to have 20,000 to 30,000 people apply at a pop, you know, once a year, I believe it's.
Yeah.
And now they're trying to do rolling testing so they can get call all together a few groups, like 1,000 max, just so that they get a class working. They can't get it. They can't get anybody.
They have billboards trying to get recruits for CPD.
Yeah.
Be the change. Make 60 grand a year your first year. Yeah. Yeah, nobody. I got
$16,000 grand to be the most hated person in the city next to Lori Lightfoot.
Well, exactly.
Here's the thing that why would I have two sons, twins.
I have twin sons too.
There you go. Yeah. And Peter's a teacher. You know, he just wants to teach, and he's like the gentle kind of kid. You know, he's a great kid and compassionate and patient. And the other guy, Spiro, could make a great cop. I mean, he's patient, but he wouldn't mind putting his hands on somebody if he had to. And that's how police were picked.
Yes.
Does this person have the fortitude? I almost talked like Blagojevich. Fortitude to put his hands on somebody or her hands on somebody. Now I said, hey, they're looking for cops. And he looks at me like I was insane.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I mean, how many thousands of kids when we were coming up, Julie and Jeff, were trying to get on the police department. And now nobody's trying to get on it because, I hate to say this, but the Democratic Party has demonized police and they don't feel like they have anyone at their back if something
Absolutely.
Goes wrong.
Absolutely. Yeah. And not only that, but, you know, there was a legacy of fathers and sons and grandsons going in on the police force. That's over. Even because the old guys say, don't bother. It's not the same police force they were on.
Right.
So they're not encouraging their sons or grandsons to get into the police work.
Would you?
No way. And you know, it's funny, and I'm going to tell this story at the dinner. I was at one time interested in, you know, I was 20 years old and I took the test and I was number 11 in the test. And that kind of scared me right away. I thought, if I'm the 11th smartest guy, we got a problem in this city.
Deputy Chief Hooley. Yeah.
So, and looking back, I'd be dead, 400 pounds or in jail. So I'm glad I didn't do it. But God bless the police. And you know, in many ways, they are doing God's work. And they need to be supported. And that's what the radio show, Hibernian Radio, is all about. And all our first responders. These are people, they're not in it for the money, you know. They're doing the right thing. God bless them. And evil is right in our face, you know. Being a cop, I guess, is a front row seat to humanity, although it ain't looking so good these days.
No, that's for sure. And before anybody calls us that we discount any of the bad things that cops have done in this city, there's plenty of that, but that's a very small percentage of the real heroes and people who do it because they want their neighborhood to be safe. They want the kids on their street to be able to play in front of their houses. They want kids to be able to ride the bus downtown and not fear for their lives. And
absolutely,
you know, the city is not in that place right now.
No, it's because I think it's because historically it's been so corrupt that it's been hollowed out.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's one thing about the coppers, and I know people, you know, the left hate them, but there's a simple thing called right and wrong.
Yeah.
And I think
and evil.
And it comes, I think, from an Irish tradition, a Catholic tradition, and understanding that there's not, everything's not relative, right?
Yeah.
That there is the right and the wrong of things. And when they do wrong, they know they did wrong. And when they do right, they know they're trying to protect the people that are doing right. And we've lost all that. So, you know, Matt Rosenberg is Milt Rosenberg's son.
Yeah.
He's coming out with a book called What's Next Chicago? Oh. And he's got a picture on the cover. Jeff's seen it. It's a picture of during the George Floyd protests in Chicago.
Oh, give me a break.
And a big, hefty, I don't think she was stuck in a love basket, but she was a large woman and a white woman. And you get the sense of a Karen, you know, maybe a teacher.
Oh, yeah.
And she's masked and she's up in the face in front of two black cops. And she's giving them both the finger, screaming at them. And these cops can't do it. You know what I mean? They can't. Yeah. They can't do anything. They just have to sit there and take it while she's screaming. And I'm thinking, we forget all that.
Yeah.
The public wants to forget. We forget the names of the dead. We forget all that. And
Ella French, say her name.
Holy, the coppers don't forget it, and their families don't forget it.
All right.
Sorry for the speech.
That's okay. And I think Matt, we're going to try to get Matt on the podcast here. So watch the space, as they say.
Watch the space. So, Huli, what do you write next?
The next thing would be the film based on all the interviews I've done with the police over the last 2 years, Chicago's Irish Cops. It's interesting. While we were in the midst of doing it, the show, the riots were going on with George Floyd, that great American citizen, and all that stuff all over the United States, but particularly in Chicago. And we want footage of that, all that stuff. And hopefully by the time we come out the other end of this thing, there'll be a good solution. The other thing that could happen is the end of civilization as we know it. Yeah. It's scary.
But you know that the Irish saved civilization.
That's right. They did.
Yes, they did.
Let's not forget.
Dang right.
I'm not kidding.
And it's a Chicago flag. It's an Irish thing. Let's not forget that either.
So do you have any more good stories about the one-legged hooker chasing?
You know what? I do have a good story. We had a guy, Kevin Duffin, on the show, who was at one time chief of detectives for the whole city of Chicago. He's retired now, but he was on the show. And he told us a great story about a murder. A woman was waiting for the bus, and a guy just came up and shot her and took her purse. And so they thought, well, it's just a robbery. And they're investigating it. And evidently, some guy was shooting his mouth off in a bar about taking a payoff to kill this woman. The woman worked in Mayor Daley's office, a black lady.
The real Mayor Daley or the fake one?
So they're investigating, and some bartender goes, there's a guy shooting his mouth off. So they find this guy, and he goes, I don't know what you're talking about. And they find out where he lives, and they go to his apartment while he's away, and as they get a search warrant, and the owner of the building lets them in. So they're looking in his apartment, and on the wall is a new sheetrock. And they turn to the landlord and said, is it okay if we look? And he goes, yeah, that's new. I never saw that before. They open it up. There's the purse. Okay. So they got the guy. So he comes clean. He's crying. And they said, how much did you get paid to kill this woman? 10 grand. So 10 grand is the going price to have somebody bumped off. And they said, how much did he give you as a down payment? $50. Can you believe that? A guy committed a murder for $50 and thinking he's going to get the other $9,950 afterwards.
Well, obviously he wasn't Nick Calabrese because those guys get paid up front.
Up front, yeah.
Right, right.
But
another city worker, by the way.
Oh, was he? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always we get stories like that all the time. Another guy was telling a story about, I got to be careful with this, but there was a domestic, you know, and cops get involved in domestic. That's one of the most dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
Domestic. Okay. And Jeff Lang was telling me, don't ever go in the kitchen during a domestic. It's because that's all the knives and everything. Right. So they separate the couple, and she wanted to kill him, and he didn't know why she was so upset. And Jeff takes her aside, and she told him that he had an affair with a woman down the street and gave her the clamdipity.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
He gave the wife the
clamdipity.
Yeah.
So things like that, just I thought that was hilarious. Oh, the clamdipity. Okay, I get it. There's tons of these. A lot of them I can't say on the radio. But they all have great stories. God bless our police and firefighters and paramedics and nurses.
The nurses are they part of the how did the nurses, we've mentioned nurses up top, but are they part of your group or the they're added somewhere?
I just added them we taped the show at the Cork and Carry on Western Avenue. Shout out to Billy Guidy, and we do the show there. And I went in to get a beer when we were doing the show one night, and there's a gal at the end of the counter, and she says, "Oh, did you play golf?" I don't know. We're just shooting the breeze. And she says, "I'm a nurse." And I went, "A nurse? You should be on the show, you know?" So I had a friend, Lauren Cantanella, who was the former St. Patrick's Day Parade queen, who is a nurse of kids with cancer. Oh, God, the stories would break your heart. But she was our first nurse, Lauren Cantanella. And we're looking for other Irish nurses to put on the show. Because they also are fighting the good fight. God bless them.
Amen.
Yeah, the Irish Parade Queen is a story that I'll never forget.
Oh, I mean, yes, I remember.
Right? Or Daly.
Jennifer Bastoni, that was her name.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Mom was a cop.
That's right.
The plumbers were aghast.
I don't know the story.
Oh, well.
You don't know the story about how I almost got fired the first time?
I don't think so, John.
Well,
she told you something the mayor said, right?
Well, the story goes from sources in there, and these are all Irish sources, okay? Mm-hmm. That the girl, beautiful, lovely girl, is named Irish Queen. And of the parade, the plumbers run it. And Daly was the fake one, the son, not the real mayor.
Yeah.
But the child, perpetual child.
Richie.
And Richie. Yeah. And he says something like, "I can't believe we have an Italian-American girl as the Irish parade queen." But he used the word that
the D word.
The D word.
Sure.
And said later, and all I told her was, Rich probably didn't mean it that way, and she was laughing about it. She didn't make a big thing. And she's like, "Oh, he's okay." And I go, "Yeah, he's okay." And I go, "All he's got to do is take you to Bruna's for an order in Italian off the menu." That's why I wanted to hear Rich speak Italian. And because I know he understands it. He understands it real well, especially when it comes from Chinatown. But he started screaming, "I never said that. This is a lie." And he had news conferences morning, noon, and night trying to get me fired. Willie remembers that.
I remember it.
That does ring a bell, John.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was Jennifer Bastoni, and she's a lovely gal.
I'm sure she is. And
her mother was a cop. You're right.
Yeah.
Mother, so everybody was taking heat.
Yeah, I was taking the most. Yeah. But that's another story on when I do the Greek radio hour. So, Huli, when you do these Irish tours, what do you do? Where do you take people?
We have one. I'm glad you mentioned. We're going October 20th for 7 days. The beauty is we have a bus, and the drivers are usually the hilarious guides, and they have a million great stories. We're going to Dublin, obviously landing in Dublin, then we're going to Galway for 3 nights, where they have this huge festival, the Machness Festival. It's kind of like a Mardi Gras, and it's pre-Halloween, We're going to be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Galway for that. And then we're going to Westport, County Mayo, to screen the Irish premiere of In Search of Weeping Jim in the town, just outside the town where he was born.
Cool.
So that's going to involve a lot of the people from that town who helped us in our search. Then we go back to Dublin.
How are you going to screen it?
We're doing it at the Westport Town Hall Theater.
Oh, so it's going to be indoors, not like how I expect, which is projected on the back wall of the pub and everybody standing, sitting outside drinking and smoking and watching. Right? I mean, that's the old village life. It'll be a little classier than that. There's nothing unclassy.
Sounds great to me.
Well, it's October, too.
Yeah, it's good, good point. Cold. Fair point. Fair point.
If I go, I'll have to visit Tom Hines's Irish shop and get myself a sweater.
You know what? I'll tell you a quick story. In the film, right there in Mayo is the Our Lady of Knock Shrine.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lady on the show or on the tour with us, and I met her. It's funny because I stayed at the Westport Coast Hotel and I got a free massage. So I told the driver of the bus, hey, we got to get back by 2:30 because I got this massage appointment. He's busting my chops. Uli has a meeting with Ronaldo and he has to get back for that. Finally, so I get the massage. Wasn't Ronaldo. It was a lovely Asian woman. No happy ending.
Ronaldo. Well, you're not an alderman. Ronaldo from Manchester United?
I don't know. He made it up. There's a lady from, there's a room you go in where you decompress after the massage. So I recognize her from the tour. We're both wearing robes. And I say, how did you get involved with the tour? What made you want to go? And she says, in February, I was diagnosed with brain cancer and lung cancer. And I always wanted to go to Ireland before I die. And that's why I'm here. And I'm like, oh, my God. The next day, we're at the shrine of Our Lady of Knock. And I see her again. And I said, do you mind if I do a little video interview? And I got it all on tape. 4 years later, she's still alive. And I had her come down to the Cork and Kerry and interviewed her again. Her name's Ann Quatrochi, lovely gal. And I said, do you think it? She goes, when I was at Knock, I didn't know the story of Our Lady of Knock. Something happened there. I'm not cured, but my doctor calls me the miracle patient. Most people who had my kind of cancer are gone in 3 years, and I've doubled that. So God bless her. And so she tells the story in our film about Our Lady of Knock, County Mayo. In Ireland, the spirit speaks louder. You're closer to God just because of the beauty and the oldness of that great country. And that's why you should come with us, John Cass, and you'll have the time of your life.
I'd love to visit Ireland. What I'd really like to do is get a bunch of big, tough Irish guys, tougher than me, and crack people's heads who think they're going to see Innisfree, you know, and Barry Fitzgerald. Although I like the movie, I remember having some friends who were Irish and they were like, they hated that movie. They're like, they probably hated it like I hate Zorba. You know, or my big fat Greek wedding. You know, because by the way, we just missed the feast day of Our Lady of Knock, which was August 17th.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm up on it. I'm up on the Irish feast days. And one thing about Gaelic Park that I've always wanted to see and I haven't is the hurling. Have you ever seen Irish hurling? I saw it once on, you know, Wide World of Sport, where you have a bunch of Irishmen with baseball bats and a league ball, and they crack it around and chase each other.
And knock the hell out of each other as well.
Have you seen that?
There's a very famous retired All-Ireland hurler named Mike Houlihan. He has a pub in Kilmallock, County Limerick. I went to it. I met him. one of the few Mike Houlihans who could, you know, bust heads, because I lost right. every fight I was ever in.
Right.
But, hey, do you remember PJOD?
Yeah.
Well, PJOD, 95 years old, still with us, was one of the, Ireland's greatest hurling champions.
Get out of here.
I'm not kidding you.
Well,
hurling and football.
Soccer, meaning proper yes, soccer.
What yeah. we call soccer.
yeah.
I went to do a stand-up routine in Ireland, and I had all these jokes about hooligans at the soccer games. And
yeah.
Material that usually killed. And some big Irish guy comes up to me afterwards and goes, "We call it football here." Okay. I get it.
Mr. Kelly. Paul Kelly's, when I was a little boy, my friend Paul Kelly, his dad was a construction worker, and he was out in the afternoon with Tommy Valdez's dad and my dad. We never saw our dads in the afternoon. I don't know what happened. There must have been something happening. And they were playing soccer on 52nd and Peoria.
Oh, wow.
They're bouncing the ball, back then when we lived there, bouncing the ball off the head. And Mr. Kelly, like 6'4", like a huge center back, you know, like you can imagine him playing in the championship, just knocking the crap out of people. And he was saying, "Play with the head, boys, play with the head." And Paul Kelly and I were like, "We're American. We're not like, you know, you guys from the old country." And now I wish I'd played it, but also hurling, I just got to find, I heard that they play it at Gaelic Park. Do they?
Yes, they do. Yeah. Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Well, I have to get in touch with PJ O'Day. And,
give him a call. He'd love to hear from you.
I'll call him.
You know what? PJ is, I do the Irish obituaries on my show every week.
You mean the Irish sports pages?
Yeah, exactly. So PJ is my obit scout. I talk to him every Wednesday. He tells me who died in the Irish community. He and his wife, Mary, are very good friends of mine. God bless them.
Well, God bless him. And you, Michael Houlihan, Hooli. I'm looking forward to seeing you on September 11th.
Me too. At Gaelic Park. Next Saturday night.
And I'm just flattered that, that you guys asked me to be the MC of this event, because on September 11th, there's no more important people in the world than first responders.
Good for you.
And cops, right?
Yeah.
All right, boys.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah.
God bless you both. Yeah.
Good to connect with you, and always fun.
Thank you. It's fun too.
Thanks, Holy.
All right. We'll see you next
Love
week.
Love basket. Yeah. Okay. Bye.
God bless. Bye. Bye.
For Mike Houlihan, the youngest of seven children, baptized at St. Margaret Mary's in West Rogers Park, Christ the King Parish, author, rock on tour, podcast host, and the man of the year of the Emerald Society, the Irish American Police Association. Tickets are still available September 11th. I'll be there. Hope you show up. And for Jeff Carlin, the goalkeeper of the great club Celtic in Palatine and executive producer of WGN Radio. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, honorary Irishman and columnist at johncastnews.com. Thanks for joining us. And see you again next time on another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.